Well, I'd say of all the times that I've ever preached, this is probably the most intimidating situation that I've been in. Probably obvious reasons for most people. And it never ceases to amaze me the mercy that God has for me personally in my life. Reminded of it every single day of my life, multiple times throughout the day. And I find great joy, I find great peace that he would be so merciful to me. And I see that word mercy, I see the name Jesus Christ. But before going any farther, Peter, would you please pray?
Okay. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come speak to you. I thank you that we get to hear from your word today. I ask that you just bless Nick, have him get what you need to come across to us. Have us to hear it, Father. In your son's name I do pray.
Amen. Amen.
If you want to turn to Psalm chapter 15, I'm going to read a verse that's not in Psalm 15. It seems to me that God is doing a work revolving around humility. The very first verse that I wanted to read was again, don't turn there. It's in Proverbs 22, verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. By humility, you come to the end of yourself, that humility of realizing what you are and who you are in order to come under repentance. And then once you come under repentance, you're going to very quickly be reminded of what you are and who you are. And remain in that humility. Keep that humility. Beg God to make you humble. I've heard that so many times lately. Ask him to make you humble and fear God, the beginning of wisdom, to fear God. So then in Psalm 15, I'm just going to read the whole psalm here. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? The Psalm of David. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. How do you work righteousness without Jesus Christ?
Right.
It doesn't happen. You cannot do it. You can work self-righteousness. You have full ability to do that. It'll get you nowhere.
Right.
And speaketh the truth in your heart. Not just with your mouth. People speak the truth all day long with their mouth. And yet they cannot seem to find this peace with Jesus Christ. They can't find peace from the bitterness that they have with everybody that comes across their path. That one person they met for 5 seconds at the grocery store. People who are genuinely desiring to be your friends, and yet you can't stop being bitter with them because you can't get past yourself. Why is that? You speak the truth and you say, God, I know this is the truth. But where God says, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Where do you submit? With your mouth? No, you submit in your heart. You submit to Jesus Christ in your heart. It says, speak the truth in his heart. That's who's going to dwell in thy holy hill. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned. See wickedness for what it is. Call it wickedness. Have a loving heart and a desire for people to be able to find an end to that wickedness. But you cannot condone the wickedness. I've begged God to allow something in my life so that, you know, because I'm having such a hard time with this, would you allow me to still have fellowship? Because I did have fellowship at one point in time, and all of a sudden it was clear to me there was this problem here, and there was no more fellowship. So I'm like begging God just to kind of like condone my sin without condoning my sin. But that's literally what I'm asking him to do. And he's not going to do that. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. I heard it said like this. I heard someone say, I'll let you in on a little secret. The secret to the joy of the life in Jesus Christ. Fear God. Fear God and keep his commandments. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Draw a line in your life. Draw a line and don't cross that line. No matter what happens, no matter what you're going through, no matter what suffering you're dealing with, no matter what excuse you think you can make, no matter how many justifications that alone are justified, you have to look at that whole picture. You're not going to get saved by call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved. The Word of God as a whole teaches you how to live this life. So when you go through and you see that thing and, well, I'm justified in this way. Sure, you're justified with that alone. But what about the other 15 things that go along with that one right there? They all are making clear that you're no longer justified by that. If that was the only one, sure. But it's not. So just tell yourself the truth and quit trying to say that it's okay, because it's not okay. Swear to your own hurt. To your own hurt. It may be to your own hurt physically, but if you swear to your own hurt because you're remaining faithful, to Jesus Christ? The Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. There is great gain to be had. Swear to your own hurt and change not. Don't swear to your own hurt once, twice, three times, four times. God, this thing keeps coming at you and you're finally like, well, God remembers that I'm but flesh. Yes, he does, but he's still giving you a commandment. Would you like to step out of that joy of walking in the Spirit? Would you like to have that misery and that suffering of your life back? When you come unto repentance and you have Jesus Christ and you experience the life of joy that you can have in Jesus Christ, and a couple of days go by and you have a moment, you know, where some bitterness is coming up. Okay, you're no longer walking in the Spirit because it's become a thought. It's went from a thought to bitterness. Get it right immediately and be jealous over that thing. Be jealous over the Spirit of Jesus Christ, over the joy that you can have in that life. Let nothing come in between that. I have to move on. Go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 8. I'm going to read the first portion of this to get down to one verse to try to make a point. That's really the crux of the whole message. And I hope to God that a work of God can be done here. I understand the great weight of responsibility. When I get up here, certainly today, I don't feel like I'm something. I do not feel like I'm something getting up behind this pulpit. I feel greatly the opposite of that. And I understand that there's people who desire salvation. There's people who have labored, and there's people who are in the misery of their own life. And there's people who are confused and deceived and of all walks of life. And I'm currently behind this pulpit. And if there's anybody, it goes without saying, but if there's anybody who can stand in the way and mess all of that up, it's me. And my desire is that you could see something of Jesus Christ today.
Right.
It is my great desire. I pray, dear God Almighty, let Jesus Christ be seen. I plead with God that I would not be seen. I hope to God that you guys could see, that we could all see, that I could see more of what Jesus Christ has shown. So starting in verse 5 of chapter 8, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Who has ears to hear? Who hath ears to hear? The Bible says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." That means some are not going to hear. Some are not going to hear. But he that hath ears to hear is he that has a willing heart. If you're willing to hear, you can hear. If you're willing to believe God, you can believe God. If you obey the word of God, if you draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. You pointed out that's one of the most unbelieved verses. And that's because we all do that. I've done all of this. And you just hear that and it just makes you cringe. It makes you ticked off at the person who's saying it because you've heard it so many times, but it doesn't work. Well, then you're not doing it the way the Bible teaches you to do it. I promise you it does work. I promise you there is peace with Jesus Christ. There is joy in this salvation. There is joy in this life. There's an end to that misery. That song we sang, I can't even remember the verse, but just all those years of walking in darkness and making a mess of my life and then getting saved and continuing to make a mess of my life, but finding out that I didn't have to make a mess of my life, finding out that there was a way to have joy in this life, crucifying the affections and the lusts of this world, turning away from that. No matter what justification you can make, if it compromises your joy in Jesus Christ, it is not of God. Whatever you're doing, if you don't know, beg God to show me. Show me Jesus Christ. If I can't see him on this path, then that's not the path to take. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I guess I'm going to go on a little bit more in this passage here. And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God." Again, Pastor Hain pointed that out earlier in that song that we sang. The seed is the word of God. You plant that seed, and it's going to either grow or it's not going to grow. But there's every opportunity every chance for it to grow. You do not need to go to hell. You do not need to die without Jesus Christ. Nobody has to die without Jesus Christ. It is not, you're not just doomed to have that. And if you don't even believe that that's a thing, then I can guarantee you, you're on your way there. But you can come to a place where if you have ears to hear, be willing to hear, Jesus Christ will show you.
That's right.
You want your faith to increase? Believe God. Obey God. Keep His commandments. Your faith will increase. You'll be amazed at the faith that has been increased in your life. The confidence that you can have in Jesus Christ. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. I'll go back to that last verse. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Everything that's spoken here today, again, Nick Skolton is up here preaching this message. I know how that is. I'm the greatest among the failures in this church. But I'm preaching the word of God. If you can't hear me, if you will not hear me, understand that what I'm preaching is the word of God. So just don't listen to me and go home and get in the word of God and let God show you himself.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter if you're listening to me. You'll get nowhere with that until you and God have reconciled his word.
Exactly
the King
right.
James Bible. Until
Amen.
You've reconciled that, there's no hope for you. But there is hope if you're willing to hear.
Amen.
They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. I still got ahead of myself. They then cometh the devil. You have an enemy. You have an adversary. And he's going to desire to take it away from you. However he can. He'll use the simplest method that he possibly can. If he has to go to the next one, he will. The sin that does so easily beset you. And yet, there's an obvious reason to just not hear anything that's being said today. And yet, the hope is only in what's being said. As long as I can step aside and preach the word of God, there's hope. There's hope in the word of God. Then they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Don't let those struggles, don't let that time of temptation tear you away. Let the challenges of your life, I think it's a glorious thing when you're being challenged whether or not you believe the word of God. It is a wonderful thing to sit there and wonder, and not just let it go, but no, you want to know, is this real? Because that's what it's going to take, is you and God getting to the bottom of that thing.
It's good.
And these have no root. I haven't read that already. Next verse, 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. How many people look at America, look at our Hollywood? I know there's fame and such and riches and everything all over the world, but we are looked at as the pinnacle, the American dream. All the greatest actors and actresses, the most fame, they have everything. They have every woman, every man they could want, all the money they could want, all the joys and all this pleasure of this life. There's a joy to a lost person. There's a joy that comes from the devil. It's a mimic. It's an imitation of the joy that comes from Jesus Christ. It's not a lasting joy. There's no hope in that joy. But enjoy, you can enjoy something. You can enjoy giving birth and having that child. What a wonderful thing. And God created that child. But without Jesus Christ, that joy will be nothing when you're in hell, when you're in the lake of fire. But you can have that joy, and you can have that memory, and then find Jesus Christ and carry that joy and remember what that joy was and what the joy is that you have now for that child and the joy that and the love that Jesus Christ has given you for your children. And I'm not married, I don't have children, but I understand there's a love that goes there, that goes with that. And there's the love of a mother to a child when they're born. And imagine being saved. Imagine how much more that love will be. You can experience and you can joy in that. And all those things that you've done wrong, you can learn from the man, Jesus Christ, how to do it right. Verse 15, the great verse. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart speak the truth in your heart, having heard the word, be willing to hear, keep it. Don't let it go, keep it. Believeth. Continue to believe. Find that belief that comes from Jesus Christ. That faith that will be increased with every bit of dependence on Jesus Christ. And understanding that you can't do things like you used to do. As a saved person, you cannot do things like you used to do. The longer it takes you to figure that out, the more your life is going to stink a lot. It's going to be awful. But you can find out, you'll find out there comes a point of repentance where you can suddenly turn from that. God. You can very suddenly turn from that and go forward. The blood of Jesus Christ has paid that. That's how precious his blood is. And bring forth fruit with patience. Go ahead and turn over to Luke chapter 10. Verse 8. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, speaking to his disciples, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Very first thing they're commanded to tell them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. It was commanded then, it's commanded now. The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. A day unto God is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. It is nigh. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say. The Bible also says that when you go into that house, if they receive you, let your peace be upon that house. And the peace that you, and you'll bring that joy of Jesus Christ into that home, and those people can receive that joy of Jesus Christ. But if they receive you not, leave that house, but let your peace return unto you. You can leave with that peace. You'll leave with Jesus Christ. You've done what the Savior has commanded you to do. You can leave with that joy. What a shame that they wouldn't receive. What a great shame. What a loss. What an unnecessary loss. And yet you can leave with Jesus Christ. You can continue in that joy. Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day when that kingdom is fulfilled, Jesus Christ comes back. I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. The city that Jesus Christ rained fire and brimstone down on and the smoke came up as a furnace should be more tolerable for that city than for you in the day of salvation, in the day of Jesus Christ coming, in the day of your death without Jesus Christ. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. Again, I'm trying very hard to preach the word of God. If anybody is worthy of being despised, it's me. And I mean that. I thought about it at times. I've thought of that statement that was made not too long ago many times. If I wasn't me, but me still existed, would I want to be my friend? I've had to think about that. And I've had times where I was like, heck no, absolutely not. I would not want to be around that person. And I still wonder about that. I still wonder. I would like to think that Jesus Christ, I believe that God can make me a person that would be less despised. But the entire point is, I desire that God can do a work. I desire to go forth with Jesus Christ, walk after the Spirit, walk after the things of the Word of God, that people will be able to glory in Jesus Christ in my life, that I could actually help somebody to see that aside from all of my failures, it's the mercy of God. His mercy allows me to step back into joy with Jesus Christ. If he can do that for me, he can do that for every single person here.
That's right.
Verse 23, and he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. So we have the ears that are, he that hath ears, let him hear. How do you hear? You're willing to hear. You're willing in your heart. How do you see? Well, Jesus Christ has to open your eyes. He has to remove the blinders. You may know what Jesus Christ has shown you, and yet you still have blindness in your life. You still can't see him. Because you won't admit to what he's shown you. You won't submit in your heart to that being the truth. And you think, even if I did do that, nothing's going to happen. That's why you're not saved. That's why there's no peace. Because it's faith. That's what's required, is thy faith. So, you say, again, you hear that statement, and you just despise hearing it. I've heard that so many times. I've tried to see, and yet I can't see. You're telling me the same thing I've heard a million times. It's just another way of saying it. If you're not seeing, it's because you don't desire to see what Jesus Christ wants you to see. I can come at that every different way, but that's really what's going on. Remove from me the way of lying. Grant me thy law graciously. The next step, I have chosen the way of truth. There's great peace, great deliverance from yourself whenever you come right to that place. What a glorious thing to be delivered from yourself. Right. You want to hold on to yourself so bad, and you are your problem. And yet, you can't see that, and you hate the fact that I say that to you. I say that to myself. It's probably the thing I say more to myself every single day of my life than anything else. Because my sin is ever before me. I see it everywhere I go. I see the result and the destruction of the path that I've walked in my life. With every person that I look at and every person that I talk to, I see the destructive path. And yet I see just a couple of days of truly walking with Jesus Christ and the fruit of a couple of days. And all I did was came to the end of myself and allowed Jesus Christ to desire Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. All these things should be added unto you. Seek Jesus Christ, and everything that you desire is in Jesus Christ. And you say, seek him to have all of that stuff? Well, yes, but if you still are desiring the stuff, then you're not desiring Jesus Christ, so you're not going to get the stuff. You're not going to have that joy. You're not going to have that peace in your life. You're not going to have salvation. But desire Jesus Christ. The more that you desire him, when you come unto repentance, come unto salvation, you come unto a place where you've seen Jesus Christ, you're going to want more of Jesus Christ. You're going to want more of that and more of that. And you'll have a life that you'll suddenly have joy. You'll look around and think, man, are people experiencing this joy right now? Is there anybody else here that's experiencing what I'm living right now? And then you also remember, I remember years upon years in this church, sitting here looking around, utterly depressed, utterly miserable, going through withdrawals. I've mentioned that 100 times. I've gone through that so many times. All it is misery. But just life in general, just the result, even not in that condition, even when having everything that I wanted at my disposal, just miserable day after day, week after week, and looking around and wondering, is anybody else miserable like I am right now? And yet people are probably, undoubtedly, when I'm in that misery, sitting there in their joy, wondering, is anybody else experiencing the joy that I'm experiencing right now? And then suddenly you're experiencing that, and you're on the inside of this, and you're like, wow, it's a whole different world. And it's a wonderful thing. But how do you see? Psalm 119:18 says, open thou mine eyes that I may see. Okay, you prayed that, nothing's happened. Verse goes on to say, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, open thou mine eyes that I may see, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's a prayer that God will honor. He will answer and bless that prayer. If it's not spoken with a tongue, if it's spoken with a heart,
that's right,
inside you, saying, God, show me your word. I want my eyes to be open so that I can see Jesus Christ. And you want that more than anything else. You're done with yourself. He's faithful. He promises to show you himself. But you will not until you come to that place. And so you'll continue to doubt it. You'll continue to hate what I'm saying. But I promise you that it's there. Jesus Christ is there. He will be found of them that seek him. Come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. He, Jesus Christ, will give you rest, and you'll find it nowhere else. You will not find it anywhere else. Again, back to those people. What if you live your whole life with the pleasures of this world, and you truly, like, as far as your understanding, you enjoyed this life, and then you die and go to hell? Well, you never believed, so it's not real until you die and find out it is. You don't have to have that. You don't have to live that life. And then you get saved. How many people in this room right now, ask yourself this question. Saved people, lost people? Mainly speaking to lost people, but whoever, just ask yourself this question. I asked myself the same question. It'd be foolish of me to ask you to ask yourself a question that I've never asked myself. Think of the person that you would want to be more than anything else. That person you know of, famous person, rich person, or just the ideal person in life that you would love to have. How many people right now, if they were offered that life, and they could have that life, would trade it for where they are right now? How many people would trade for that and be damned for all of eternity? Talking what's the biggest number? I think most people in here could easily understand a billion years. We'll just say a million years to the young kids. A million years. That's not day one of the lake of fire. It's not the first hour. It will never compare because it's eternal. There'll never be a comparison between the time of the lake of fire. It's an eternal thing. But the opposite is to be said for Jesus Christ. So ask him to open your eyes that you may see him. Luke chapter 12. It's so easy to get off on a tangent. I've got so much more here. I watch people do that, and I know how it goes because I do it. I have two chapters worth of stuff, and I'll go to the Pines or wherever to preach, and 3 verses later, and 45 minutes later, you just cross out the other 42 verses and like, okay, hopefully God's message got across. But Luke chapter 12, verse 28. Well, I'll start in verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, the very grass of the field. God does that every single day. God preserves his will. He created the grass. Whether you believe that or not, it is the truth. The more you believe the word of God, the more you want him to open your eyes to see the word of God. That kind of stuff will just be simple facts to you. It'd be the most simple thing in the world. If God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And that is the problem. O ye of little faith. O me of little faith. That's the problem. And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. That's an interesting statement. Neither be ye of a doubtful mind. That can apply to a lost person. Absolutely. That does apply to a lost person. 100%. But who's he speaking to here? Verse 22. And he said unto his disciples. He's speaking to the disciples. Be ye not of a doubtful mind. It doesn't say you in your spirit. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. The spirit's never going to doubt the word of God. But as a saved person, God's going to bring you to places. And I was cautious about whether or not I was going to go into this because I'm not overly knowledgeable and experienced to try to divide the two. But if you're saved, God says you can lift up holy hands without wrath or doubting. The King James Bible salvation comes with an assurance that no matter where you get off into, no matter how much you've become of that doubtful mind, God will, you turn back. You turn to Jesus Christ. He will increase your faith. He will restore you. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. Praise God. He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He will do that for you. But when you have something where you just don't know and you wake up and you have anxiety and you're like, what that thing in the Word of God or that thing that God showed me, I would beg you not to do anything to dampen that, to cover that up. No matter what it is for you, you can go all down the list. We can go over the obvious ones. Whatever it is for you that you do that just gives you that ease, you wake up in the morning, what's the first thing you're going to do to kind of like ease that anxiety and that uncomfortableness that's going on, especially if you've heard a lot of preaching that's making you uncomfortable? Don't do it. Go to the Word of God. Let Jesus Christ show you. If you stop doing something in your life because you know it's wicked and it's just a burden to you, it doesn't have to be a burden to you. But don't go back on that. Don't go back to that thing. You go through that anxiety. Let Jesus Christ deliver you from that anxiety. Look at people around you who have been delivered. They don't live in that. Sure, they have anxiety, but they don't live in this plague of anxiety all the time. They don't wake up with all this anxiety on their heart. No, you trust Jesus Christ. Believe that he can deliver you. He'd still clothe the lily, you know, the grass of the field, and consider the lilies, how they grow. And Jesus Christ can take care of you. You need to believe that he can take care of you. You need to obey him. Otherwise, things are going to go south. It'd be a curse unto you otherwise. Chapter 14. I'm going to try to start just going through this stuff now. Verse 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also. You could really sum it up in that, his own life, everything that applies to your life that is not of Jesus Christ or comes before him. If you don't hate that, if you don't love Jesus Christ beyond whatever the cost, says he cannot be my disciple. How much are you willing to pay? What are you willing to write on that check? To trade. How about you just sum it up in two words? The pay this amount, just write Jesus Christ in there. And then write whatever it is that you want on the bottom. Because that's what you're trading. You're trading Jesus Christ for whatever it is you think you're supposed to be having in your life. It may be a great burden. It may be a great difficulty. It may be a very unique thing. But in the end, the same answer that God gave me is the same answer he's going to give you. Believe God. Trust Jesus Christ. Lost my place. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Count the cost of one so lost, without hope and without God. Death forever in a lake of flaming fire. Count the cost, Christian. What's it worth? What are you willing to write on that check? How much are you willing to go through to see someone be saved? How much are you willing to go through to have the relationship with Jesus Christ that he died to have with you? Verse 34. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It's useless. It's something you can see that has no value to whatsoever. It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill. Yeah, I'm going to season the dunghill with it. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I hope to God by now that somebody has been able to hear something in the Word of God. I beg my Savior that I'm not standing in the way of that. I pray that my past has not stood in the way of that, but that you could have ears to hear, that you could drop your pride, not against me, against Jesus Christ. If you despise me and you won't listen to Jesus Christ, you're not going to hear Jesus Christ. And I'm pleading with you. I'm begging you to hear what Jesus Christ is saying. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Chapter 16, verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I think we've heard enough about that verse in the past couple of weeks to understand that you can't have both. You'll be more miserable than you've ever been trying to have both. Choose which way you're going to go. Don't be lukewarm. Just be a man about it. Choose which way you're going to go. If you want to go to hell, choose the way of hell. You might as well live it up. But if you want salvation, if you want this peace, then choose the way of Jesus Christ. It seems like a no-brainer to me, but I know what it's like to be lost and sit there and do all that I could against Jesus Christ and then be spitting angry at times, literally spitting angry that Jesus Christ made my life awful. Foolishness.
That's right.
No, hold on to the one. Luke 17, 11 through 19. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. What a wonderful thing that he said that. When a leper is cleansed, he's to be brought unto the priest. Teaches that in Leviticus. I believe it's in Leviticus. Go show yourselves unto the priests. What he said is, I just healed you. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? And you think of the story of the woman there with the issue of blood and all these people thronging Jesus Christ. They were healed of their diseases. They were healed of their issues. They were healed of their infirmities. But what good did it do them? That's all they wanted. They believed God that far that he could heal them because he saw them do it. They heard about it. Yeah. Herod wanted to see a miracle of Jesus Christ. He's one of the wicked, most wicked men in the Bible. And yet, they were healed. But yet, one woman was healed and made whole. Healed of that plague. Why was that? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. What did Jesus Christ say? And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way. Glory to God, thy faith hath made thee whole. O ye of little faith, that's the problem. O ye of little faith, thy faith hath made thee whole. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And you can be made whole again. You can be made whole again. Praise God. What a wonderful thing. What a glorious thing to be made whole by Jesus Christ. You can be made whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Believe the word of God. Believe God and obey him. And watch the faith, the miracle that will be wrought in your life. Luke chapter 18, verse 26. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? So again, I've done all that, and I'm not saved. I've done all that. What's stopping? What's holding me back here? I don't understand. You're speaking a bunch of nonsense because I've done that, and yet here I sit year after year, day after day, plagued, miserable in my life, bitter with God, wondering if this is even real. If I had to really come down to it, I'd say, absolutely not. It's not real. You guys are just craziness. You're up there preaching something, and when I get caught in myself for a moment, it's just great foolishness to me. And then I try to turn back away from that. But then when I'm caught in myself a moment, it's great foolishness to me. Glory to God. He's showing you what your problem is.
Amen.
And if you see your problem, you can do something about it. That's the wonderful thing about seeing your problem. I've seen some humiliating and awful things about myself lately. And yet when I see it, by the mercies of God, I've genuinely glorified. I've gloried in that. Because, wonderful, another thing that God showed me, an answer to prayer to help me to have a better life and be more like Christ and be made whole again. He showed me how to do it, if I'll drop my pride. So all of that, and they heard it and said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. You think you have joy and contentment now, Christian? You can enjoy that. You can live in that. And then you get to go to heaven and have this great life, and have a new world to live in, and all of that with Jesus Christ, without a sin nature. The wonderful life God can give you now, and yet there's so much more to come. If you've done what Jesus Christ has commanded you to do, you're saved. That's all there is to it. Thy faith will have made thee whole. And if you're not whole, it's because you have not come the way of the King James Bible. You have not come the way God has laid plainly before you. Because he is faithful. He's very real. The Word of God is very real. It's perfect. It's so holy. It's such a wonderful thing whenever you begin to love and you see that Bible sitting on a table and you just have a longing to read the Word of God. Where does that come from? It's a miracle of Jesus Christ. He shows you how much the Word of God is perfect and holy and wonderful. You go through all the adjectives. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all. Nope. I think I already read that. Okay, so you've done all of that and you're still not saved. There's that. To me, I love this song. But that last stanza, then he'll patiently wait for the moment when you've come to the end of yourself. I heard that song down in Blaine. When you've come to the end of yourself. Oh, the joy when you come to the end of yourself. And you just see, what foolishness. What foolishness that I continued in that for so long. And the answer of what I was doing it for, what I wanted from it, I never got, never attained it. But when I got rid of it, all of a sudden I found that. I can live in that. You could go about your day in great tribulation and great trials and yet have peace and joy and tears of joy and laughter of joy. Not the joy the devil gives, the joy that Jesus Christ gives. There's such a difference. There's such an everlasting, eternal difference. Luke 18, verse 35. And it came to pass, as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him, that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Oh, the mercy of God. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. There was their hope. He's going to pass by. He's going to continue on. Are you going to be found with Jesus Christ as he continues on, or are you going to be left behind? And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded. The holy God, Jesus Christ, stood and commanded this blind beggar, him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Why? Because he desired to see. But why did God give him his sight? Because thy faith hath saved thee. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. His faith saved him. His faith gave him his sight. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, God passeth by, but he followed it. He received his sight and went with it. Glory to God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. That's what we desire, Christian, that people would see Jesus Christ in our life. That's the shame that I've lived with, and I desire so greatly that he would be seen in my life. I can't change the past, but I can certainly follow Christ going forward. He's given me my sight. He's showed me myself once again, allowed me to come to the end of myself. I'm just going to turn here real quick for the sake of time. Actually, if you want to, you can turn to Psalm chapter 19. I think I can finish this maybe in 5 minutes. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey, than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. You are warned. And yet, in keeping them, there is great reward. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That word great, there's great reward. To deeply know my Savior, what a great reward for anything you could ever do to deeply know more deeply know the Savior. It's the greatest reward. There's nothing like that reward. I thank God for that reward. Thank God he's made a way to have that. And this is, go ahead and just stay there. I'm just going to read this verse real quick. Luke 9:25 says, for what is a man advantaged, lost person, if he gain the whole world and lose himself? Another place it says, and lose his own soul. That's what it's talking about. Lose yourself. Yeah, the whole world, Elon Musk, whoever you would trade this spot right now for. And don't lie to yourself. Certainly there's one person in here who would presently trade that. But you don't have to. You could repent of that. You could desire Jesus Christ. All the riches in this world would be nothing. You'll have, 97 years of that to remember for the rest of eternity. To regret for the rest of eternity. You're going to make any new memories. You know, we go there and on every new moon, I believe. I don't know that well enough to teach it. So maybe that would be a new memory. Certainly not going to be a good one. All you'll have is this. Well, those of us in heaven, those that you'll see every new moon, are making the greatest memories that will ever be made for all of eternity. You could have had that. You could have had that. You could have believed. Could have not despised the word. I hope to God that there are some here who have ears to hear. I hope to God that I have ears to hear the next thing that Jesus Christ would show me, where I'm greatly erring currently. Saved person, or be cast away. Do you want some misery in your life as a saved person? Go after the world. Hold on to the one and despise the other, and be cast away. You're going to take a great mercy of God and a lot of pain to come out of that, but you can. And then verse 12 of Psalm 19. How do you prevent that? Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. And in that, I am speaking to lost people, but I'm really mainly speaking to saved people. Renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. You're forsaking your own mercy. And people around you who could be benefiting from your life in Jesus Christ, somebody who might have been saved, who is going to die and never hear it. You've already failed that person because you wouldn't let Jesus Christ work. You could never have done anything for them, but you could have yielded. Jesus Christ could have worked through you for that person. I know people presently who are about to die who I failed. I know people who have already died. And at the very least, I could have prayed more earnestly for them. It just didn't mean that much to me. Oh, sure, pray for them. How much do you really care? They're dead. They're gone now. Chances are, based off of this scenario and that scenario, that this one is most likely in hell. As I'm preaching right now, and as you're all sitting there, there are so many people in the place that I'm trying to preach against you going to right now. They're there, currently, in the flames of hell, just awaiting the judgment to be cast into, with hell, into a worse place. James 1, verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. Don't cover up that conviction. Don't you cover up that conviction. Kyle said it earlier. There ain't no prescriptions in hell. There ain't nothing down there. We can cover it up now and never come under what God could deliver you, and you don't have to have, you'll have no need and no reason for that anymore. You'll have no need for it to cover up your anxiety and your depression. God can deliver you from that. Glory to God, he can deliver you from your depression. He can deliver you from your anxiety. You don't need to live with that. You don't need to live with the side effects of what you're doing to cover it up. But if you continue to cover up and you go to hell, you'll live forever without ever being able to cover that up. I love that statement, Kyle. Those of us who are saved, who are in that situation, we have a great responsibility in that. And you're... What shame. You can't trust Jesus Christ. What a shame. Myself included. What a shame. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, to give it to all men liberty and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. If you ask in faith, thy faith will make thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm just going to have like a couple verses left. I'm going to wrap this up. I'm genuinely trying not to go over time here. But I think I can get through this. If you'll bear with me, I appreciate that. Luke 22. Actually, if you want to turn to Romans 8, I'm just going to read these verses real quick from Luke 22. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. Jesus Christ at the bottom of Mount Olivet and the Garden of Gethsemane. He kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What a great thing, the act that's about to happen. And yet Jesus Christ in his flesh, he knows what his flesh is about to suffer. He knows what his soul is going to suffer. And there's a concern to that. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven and strengthened him. He got strength because he asked in faith. The faith of Jesus Christ never wavered. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Jesus Christ himself is pleading with the Father, and he knows, and the greatest act that's about to happen, and yet he's sweating great drops of blood. The greatest act that's ever happened and ever will happen, and yet it came at great suffering of the soul of Jesus Christ, and the great suffering of his flesh, and all that goes along with that. And yet it was the greatest act that ever happened because of the joy that was set before him. Don't you look at your feelings. You trust God. You walk by faith. And then finally in Romans chapter 8. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. You've been made free, Christian. You don't have to live under that. You don't have to go under that bondage. My fetters fell off. When you can sing that part of that song in great joy without a clenching on your heart, because you know that it's been made free and you let go of that thing. Quit holding on to the old master. Quit holding on to that. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, the word of God is going to show you that you're a sinner. It's showing you that you're a sinner. It has showed you that you're a sinner. If you're here today and you've heard, you've seen that. But what it can't do, the law itself is not going to save you. The law is the schoolmaster, and it's holy, and you need the law. But it brings you unto the Father. In that it was weak through the flesh, what then? What do we do then? God sending his own Son, Jesus Christ, in the likeness of sinful flesh. How could Jesus Christ be sent in the likeness of sinful flesh? The man without sin. How could that happen? The Bible says it. Do you believe it? The King James Bible says it right there. Because he was. Because he became our sin. For one thing, he was sent in a body of flesh. That body died. He didn't suffer corruption. But the body was killed. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. How could Jesus Christ be sent in the likeness of sinful flesh and be condemned for sin in the flesh if he didn't take it to the flames of hell? How many times have we heard that preached here? Have you personally reconciled that? Have you come to a place where I heard that and I like to believe it because Pastor believes it or because McVeigh believes it or whoever? Have you decided that you believe that?
Good.
It's what it's going to take. It's what it's going to take for anything and everything. You have to determine between you and Jesus Christ. If you don't take any of what I've said home today, either I've failed, Jesus Christ has failed, or you failed. I could understand if I failed. I have a real hard time understanding if Jesus Christ failed. But you could also fail. He'll patiently wait for the moment when you've come to the end of yourself. You'll find such joy when you come to the end of yourself. Jesus Christ did go to the flames of hell. He did pay that sin debt there. Soul was made an offering for sin. But you know what more? He rose. Came out of those flames.
That's right.
And they found him in heaven. That's the last blood I'll ever need.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, I've gone 5 minutes over. I think I'll pray. And then whatever Pastor Hain wants to do, we'll go from there. I thank you. I thank you for giving me a chance to preach the word of God. I thank God for your mercy. My Father, I thank you so much for your mercy. Of all the people, of all the places, you gave me the mercy to be able to stand up here and preach the word of God. The joy to preach the word of God. What a privilege and what an honor. I pray, my God, that it will not have fallen on deaf ears, but that there would be ears willing to hear. And there was any resistance, that you would open that heart up. You would show the vileness of ourselves, that we may come to the end. I thank you, and I praise and glorify the name of the Most High, Holy God.